As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to a late night edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. 1:56 Dallas time, which means 11:56. It's still technically Sunday back in the Bay Area. We are not out on the court because New Kids on the Block is setting up for a between games concert. That must stink for the concert or for the arena workers, by the way. Two playoff games, 48 hours apart, and you got to set up for a New Kids on the Block concert in between.
It's part of life in the big city, Anthony Slater. He's had to live with that. Chase Center had a concert, right? It was a Denver series, right? I think it was. So it happens. This is how you make money, Slater. You make money. Mark Cuban making money off of this.
Yeah, they're getting paid. They're not working for free.
True.
But they're ready. They're eyeing to clear out these tables. So we might have some of that going on. But people don't want to hear that. They want to hear all about the Warriors going up 3-0 in this series.
109-100 defensive game. You know, what was it, 48-47 at half? I mean, the Warriors played a horrible first half offensively. We're leading because...
Was it a defensive game or a poor offensive game? I do think a lot of open shots were missed. No. It's twice now Dallas has missed a lot of open shots.
Reggie Bullock and Maxi Kleber went 0-15 combined.
0 points combined. It was really bad. I thought, you know, what we were saying, these guys are going to shoot better at home than they did on the road. They shot exactly the same or worse. And it was really worse because Kleber wasn't shooting at the end. So, like, the Warriors didn't really have to guard him. He was turning down shots. The Mavericks
went to Davis Bertans at the five, yeah. I guess at the five, over him because Kleber was ineffective.
Bertans is driving to the hole. It's like, that's not why you're here, buddy.
Well, he had a nice driving dunk. He ripped by a Clay closeout at one point. But the people also probably aren't here to hear about Davis Bertans. Very uninteresting night.
But I do think I think we're seeing – I mean, I know this is a game in a vacuum, but it's part of a series – and Reggie Bullock is tired. He plays
chasing
Steph. Not only that, they're working that pick, trying to get Steph in the pick. He's doing all that. They can't really break because Davis Bertans was getting torched by Jordan Poole, so now they're not running him out there. They ran Dorian Finney-Smith and Bullock back for the fourth quarter again. I do think the series is taking a toll, which affects shots like that. That's not out of nowhere. Maxi Kleber is the rim protector. That's who he is. Like, he's got to be the back line of defense. They don't have anybody else. And I don't know how good he is at it, but you don't make shots when you're tired. Like, that's just – and look at the minute. The minutes are crazy. They were up there.
42 minutes for Finney-Smith, 40 for Luka, 40 for Reggie Bullock. That's a lot of minutes. 32 for Dinwiddie off the bench. And the Warriors had every, like, you know, Wiggins 40, Clay 39, Steph 39, Draymond 37. Those are big minutes for the Warriors.
Warriors don't ever go that big. Not that many.
Getting Game 6 against Memphis, so that's when you knew Kerr was going for it. Although he did surprise me afterwards by saying, "Yeah, we were going for it. We wanted to win this game, and to go up 3." Because what they didn't want is Dallas to do the thing they did in the last series: you lose the first two at home and come back, win Game 3, and then just changes the flow of the series. The Warriors win this series. It is all but over. And that's what I wrote today. I wrote for them to say, they went to themselves, they didn't say it publicly, but to display it for us that they were trying everything. There was none of this save energy. There was none of this, hey, we'll take one on the chin, we'll come back next time. It was like they rolled it all out for this game. And then to do that in the Western Conference Finals, to go up 3-0, that's championship level. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but this is a championship level team.
I wrote about the coaching, and this goes along the lines of what you're talking about, which is kind of a feel for the moment. And you mentioned Bullock, and maybe he's tired with the pick and pop stuff. Well, but I mean, I think the biggest adjustment that's been made so far in the series was at halftime of Game 2, they switched the matchup. They took Curry off Bullock because Bullock is the pick and pop quick trigger guy, whereas Dorian Finney-Smith, he'll hit a bunch of corner threes, but he's not able to just like pick and pop, catch and shoot. He kind of needs to be more stable to shoot it. And that matchup has really kind of taken Bullock's offense away and gotten Curry out of the mix. You don't see Curry in as many of those high screens. He's still doing some of the hedging stuff. They've had Finney-Smith out there, but suddenly Finney-Smith's not trying to dive to the rim a little bit. So to me, like that coaching adjustment in particular, and then just the way in general they have coached this series defensively, I think has been kind of like a masterclass that to me goes back to the summer where, Mike Brown was the offensive coordinator basically the last few years. This summer, Jaren Collins leaves. They give Mike Brown the defense. And they had a conversation in the summer about adding more zones and different looks. And because they had a game in Orlando, this would have been now two regular seasons ago, where they went triangle and two against like Terrence Ross and somebody else. And it worked. And they had a conversation in the summer saying, we should throw a little bit more of that, because their whole thing is like, disrupt rhythms of offenses, change patterns on the court. They always want to do that. And to me, all season, we've seen it all season, right? You'd be at a random regular season game, you're like, Mike Brown's switching to his own right now. Because they practiced that all season, I think we're really seeing it pay off in this series in particular. We've watched a ton of Warriors basketball over the year. Have you ever seen them so actively just switch up the defense, switch up the defense, switch up the defense?
They look like Rocky, all running down court with two fists in the air, right?
And today they went boxing one, and that's the open fist hands, and they're all going open fist. And Draymond compared himself to a middle linebacker. He's like, I got my defensive coordinator over there.
Singletary.
Michael Parsons was in the building.
Yeah, Michael Parsons.
But to me, that is like, they're really organized. And you're seeing it this series, and like to me, like they're doing a great coaching job. And to me, what they're doing defensively is like, this is organization, coaching, veteran leadership, all you want to say. But like, this is an organized unit right now.
This is the first time we've seen Steve Kerr leave the team, and you could feel it, right, in his presence. And it's not that they were running; it was still Steve's system. It was still he had input, but there's something about like Steve's pulse on the team. To know the moments, to yell at Steph, right? To not take it. Like, he's just the one who can do that. And you're seeing the effects of that. This is not the fully stocked Kevin Durant team where they just run on their own. Like, nah. And I do think Steve learned that from last year. I do think last year where he was kind of trying to just say, hey, let's just run our stuff. And it's like, nah.
Come on, Kelly Oubre. Yeah, you got right? it.
You gotta
go
be,
get him. Go get him.
You got to be more hands-on. Like, on this team, it's moment to moment. It's like you got to really kind of manipulate it. And him leaving, you could just see that, like, Mike Brown wasn't doing that. That's just not – that wasn't
plus
his role.
Mike had to be the head coach.
Plus, suddenly Mike – he couldn't go, let's go to zone, because he was like, oh, I got to talk to the referee right now.
Steve has that, that kind of fiery competitiveness that they need. He's got the pulse. He can tell when to push guys like Looney, or when to not. Like, all that little stuff matters when you win a championship. And I do feel like you're seeing that strength from Steve in this run.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strong coaching staff. I mean, obviously, they're getting head coaching jobs or interviewing. Kenny Atkinson is interviewing for head coaching jobs. Like, this is a good staff. Like, Kerr has always had a good staff. That's one very – he's had guys become head coaches. Willie Green. And it's a strong staff. It'll be interesting to see how he re-puts it together if he loses both. He's losing Mike Brown, obviously. Sacramento could lose Atkinson. We'll see if they take other assistants with them. But this is a really strong staff. But, you know, with Steph and Draymond and Andre, by the way, there's injury timeout, and Andre's calling them together, like, here, come over here. Everybody get over here. We're having a meeting right now. Kerr kind of wandered over and joined it, but it was Andre's huddle.
There was one timeout where Andre went over and started chatting with Bob Myers. Did you see that? Yeah, but Andre's sitting over there.
He's
calls
got him like a green short set. You can't miss him, right?
Yeah, he brings Myers a few feet onto the court, and they're sitting there chatting. I think they might have been talking about Mark Davis and the referees. And then next to him, Joe Lacob's having a long conversation with Patrick Mahomes. I was like, this is getting weird out here. But anyway.
Andre's like, he's been an assistant coach. Yeah. Tough. He's out there. He's very – like visible in a way he hasn't been all year.
I think he's like really important for the young players. Like, you know, they look to him, Moody or Jordan Poole even, because he's worked with them. Like he's put time in with these guys. So he can like pull them aside and say, no, do it this way, like we talked about. So, yeah, I mean, people ask, like, could Andre be an assistant coach if they need a – I mean, I'm sure they would want him to. I don't know if he would want to put all that time in, but he's running companies right now. But you can see them put together. You can see how together they are. I never – like, even when they were not playing great tonight, I didn't think they were out of control. They just didn't play great. I never thought they were, like, losing you know, maybe a little bit when they were down 8, down 10, but – when they were down 8 and they put the starters back in, I was like, this is a really – I just tweeted, like, this is a really important moment. And boom, they go right into a 15-6 run to get the lead going into halftime. And then what did you think? They're up 1 going into halftime. What were you thinking? I thought it's like, this is pretty much over because they just played the worst that they're going to play, and it wasn't that bad. And they never were out of it, never out of control, and they went right into it. And then they start – what, they start off 10-0 in the third quarter, something like that. And then all of a sudden they're up 10. Like, this is a commanding team playing better now, as Kerr said, than they've played all season. They are better now in the Western Conference Finals than they were at any point this season. And they were started off strong at the beginning of the year, but they didn't have Clay. And now they got Clay, and they got every other piece. We'll see what happens to Otto Porter, who was hurt and left this game. Recurring injury, so that's very scary.
It was a different foot, but he's always had foot issues because it was right foot soreness is why he left the Memphis series, and this was left foot. But he was trying to play through it, and then kept going down and, like, you know, touching it.
He walked off the court at a weird time. Like, the Mavericks were about to inbound the ball.
They were forced to call timeout because the refs were like, hey, your guy didn't get to the scores table in time. Like, he's got to still play. And they're like, well, he's walking into the locker room right now. And the refs were basically like, all right, you got to call time then. Yeah. So they did. But that's not a good injury, by the way. The x-ray's negative. You'll know more. I mean, I'd expect, like, no chance he plays 4, right? I mean, especially if they
– that's why they want to end it in 4, by the way, to give him all this time. We're all looking at it. There's going to be a lot of time off if they win it in 4, which it feels like they're going to. But that would help a lot. I mean, maybe they have Iguodala back. Maybe not. But I would imagine GP2 is a real good shot of being in the finals. And they do need extra bodies. Moody helps them, but Steve can't play all their guys 40 minutes, right? He cannot in every game in the finals. Maybe one of their games in the finals. Maybe two, but and with the extra days off. But he's not going to want to go 3, 4, 5 games of these guys playing that kind of minutes because you're asking for some issues then. Wiggins, though, I don't know. He could probably play 40 minutes every game. He never looks like he's tired.
Wiggins had a pretty bad ankle twist in game 2, which you didn't know because he, like, played through it. So it was like you kind of saw him starting to limp, like, right late in the half. But then
it was weird to see him limp on that. It felt like the first time I ever seen Wiggins limp when I saw the replay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, he's limping kind of bad. Why did I not see this in the game?
Yeah. So, you know, they list him as questionable, which that's pretty notable. Yeah. And then – Steve, I thought, he surprised me. He came out last night or the day before. I was like, oh, he's fine. It's just, you know, whatever, procedural. He's going to play. And I think there's just such a trust of, like, Andrew Wiggins always plays. I remember there was a game in Phoenix this year, the first game in Phoenix, where suddenly he was listed on the injury report with back spasms. And then I watched him warm up pregame, and he looked horrible. I couldn't move, and I was like, oh, no way he's playing. But then he went over to the trainer. He's like, I'm going to play. And he didn't. He looked bad in that game. He didn't play well. But he always seems to play through it. Tonight he played through it and, like, I don't know. I didn't notice any ankle issues. I don't know about you guys.
There was certainly no ankle issues on one particular play. That's my story. I'm writing about Wiggins and how this was his coronation moment. Like, they've known – the way he's played all playoffs, they know, like, he's one of them, right? They can win a championship with him. Like, he fits with them. And this was, like, his big game. Like, you got to have a moment with the Warriors, right? You got to – everybody's got to have their performance. And this was his.
He's had a few, by the way.
Yeah, he had a few. Yeah. This
and he's guarding Luka. So yeah, that's
– I mean, this is the one, right? Like, this is his –
27 points, because all the other dirty work that we've been talking all playoffs, he's been scoring like 15, 16.
Like Iguodala in the Cleveland's first series is what it was. Guard the best guy and score 27. Yeah. I mean, my God. That's
and 11 rebounds.
Yep.
And he took 20 shots, right? But, like, it's the way that he – the way he's gone at Luka, the way he's embraced that assignment, that has them. Like, when you talk to them privately, they're like – this is one of our guys, right? Like, Wiggins is us, you know. And you just don't – that just wasn't who he was. That's just not so far from the player he was. You would have never thought that they would be looking at Wiggins and saying, yes, Wiggins is our guy.
They were hoping.
Yeah, they were hoping. But, like, so the transformation – and, you know, the Warriors do love that whole rags to riches story. Draymond loves talking about how – guys are written off too early.
The teams. People don't talk about teams. They blame it on the players.
He once had a long thing about Marquise Chris.
So they love that. So Wiggins is like the embodiment of that. Like, he is perfect for it. But for him to kind of get this moment and to essentially change how he's perceived in the league.
Minnesota fans got to be stewing.
Oh, yeah,
I got to check the comments.
I'm not getting any comments anymore from Minnesota fans.
Just wait till the finals.
the only comments I get is from Warriors refs. I'm like, you still don't think we should have got him? I keep hearing that.
No, that's not like them. Warriors management would never do that.
When is your man Copa coming? I was like, I already did one last year.
So. It's funny. So I'm sitting basically within the ESPN radio broadcast where PJ Carlissimo, who's the color analyst on the broadcast, is directly to my right in a crunched-ass row. And then two seats to my left is George Sedano, who's doing sideline for ESPN radio. And, yeah, no, like, the, you know, the game ends. Wiggins has the huge dunk, really, that kind of in that ceiling moment. On Luka, and then, you know, Sedano's trying to get Wiggins for post-game radio, and it's just funny to me. I'm like, people are like, I need Wiggins. Can I get Wiggins? And so that happens. He does the interview, and Wiggins' brother, Bob Myers, are sitting there waiting to, like, congratulate him. Bob was like, couldn't wait for Wiggins to get done talking to his brother so he could talk to him quick. And then Wiggins' wife and daughter are sitting there, and his daughter's wearing a shirt where it's a picture of him posterizing Cat. His daughter's wearing that shirt, and he's just walking around. Everyone's like, great game, Andrew. And I'm like, what? Like, can he believe that he just hammered one on Luka in the West Finals, scored 27. He's not been locking Luka up, but he has at least shown the world what he is as a defender in this series, and it is like reputation changing.
He's worth $33 million.
Yeah.
He's getting 31-6 this year. Okay. It's a deal. And next year's 33-6 looks like a deal. When did that happen?
Recently.
Yeah, right. Before it was like, hey, man.
I spent the year, even when he made the All-Star starter, I was like, he's like, hey, everyone should know he may be like a $20 million per year wing. I know it sounds pricey, but he's playing like a $20 million.
The narrative about Wiggins was like, you just got to throw out the salary. You can't look at the salary.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
They traded D'Angelo Russell for Wiggins and Kuminga. Oh my God. Like, that is, and they didn't think it was this good. Like, they knew it was good. They didn't think it was this good of a trade. My Lord, it is unbelievable. And he's 26 years old? Like, he's, like, going to have six more good years like this.
Meanwhile, we're watching game six of Wolves, Grizzlies. Like, get McLaughlin on the floor. Get D'Angelo Russell out of there.
Yeah, who's that guy making $31 million? Get him off the floor.
I definitely feel like we should have John Krasinski for this episode.
Oh, well.
Our guy, John Krasinski. That's so funny.
Yeah, Steph was still the best player tonight. With 31 points, 11 assists, control of the game, complete control. You know, Draymond mentioned post game the aggressiveness level. He's had it all this whole series. I think he knew coming in it couldn't be the passive first quarters where he's like, you know, letting the action come to him. He has just gone out and, to me, kind of taken this series.
Yeah, you could tell. He sensed, you know, what Steve was talking about, like, we got to win this game. Like, you saw that in Steph. Like, let's go win this game. Let's get off to a good start. Let's kind of take their hope away. But I do think he figured out they can't guard me. And if I attack early, they won't have a choice but to double. And they were doubling super high. They were bringing that double way out, which led to layup after layup.
I don't think those loony scoring. Like, I don't know how many, but like, he's like converting on these things that I used to make fun of him for. So now, like, they have this other, like, offense. Like, it used to be dump it to Looney, wasn't being defended, and now he takes a dribble and then stops and doesn't know what to do.
I think Looney's like 18-23 shooting in this series.
It's incredible. And he's finishing in traffic, all the things that, like, he didn't used to do.
Looney finish, how many assists is that?
11 for Steph. Yeah, and like four of them to Looney, right? I mean, it's
Looney, that finishes 6-7. That's what it normally is, 6-7.
It lights up their offense when Looney does that. It lights up because it's the play that's always available. And either Looney's making, he's making a strong dribble and getting in next to the rim and making it, or he's making that quick pass off to Draymond. Now, Draymond isn't exactly finishing, but... Or Wiggins is flying through the air, and they're giving it to Wiggins cutting across. Like, this is – they're moving the defense, and it's Steph and Looney. It's always Steph.
But and no rim protection. This team just does.
That's the fundamental flaw for the Mavericks that is dooming them and will doom them, is they don't have a guy for Steph. Jordan Poole can get to the hole against certain matchups, but they just don't have a dude who can stay in front of Steph. He was taking Dorian Finney-Smith. It was like, when he starts doing that, that's it. Like, that's ball game. But let alone you get him on a screen and you got Luka in front of him. And you could see it. He was just kind of toying.
Yeah,
I
told Marcus early in the game, I said, it just feels like the Warriors have figured this out.
Yeah.
And that's Steph, right? It's mostly Steph and Draymond. But it just felt like there was there ever a time, like, even with the jump outs on him, I was like, I got it. Just dribbled back out, moved the ball, cut, get the ball back, or Clay gets the ball. They felt comfortable in this game, and when they're feeling comfortable, they win. You know, has Dallas really made them feel uncomfortable yet this series? Like, Memphis, we know, made them feel incredibly uncomfortable. Dallas doesn't mean. I mean,
they made shots. First half of game one, and honestly, they found something with the Bullock pick and pop. Yeah. And you know what? It made the Warriors adjust. They adjusted. They took that away by just switching the matchup, and that's the only time they've threatened them in this series.
And they don't have another counter, right?
No,
that's
no.
It. Like, you figure out the one thing they can do.
Well, maybe if Luka scores 40. Oh, never mind. He's done that the last two games.
That's, again, that's Cleveland-esque LeBron. Like, it's like LeBron, LeBron averaged 40 in that the 15 series and did not win the series.
This is the formula for Luka. He took 14 twos and nine. He took nine threes, but several of those was like, end of the game, we need a three.
Took 17 free throws.
17 free throws. Yeah. Like, just make him drive every time. Make him do it. He wears down. He tires him out. And then he becomes easier on defense. And then usually he starts settling for the three at that point. But he's just been making them late. Yeah. Like, but, he's incredible.
He's an unbelievable player. But, they are showing that they can give. And they're not trying to give him 40. They're trying to guard him. But he can still get 40. And how many did Brunson have? Like,
So Luka 40, Brunson 20, Dinwiddie 26.
There you go. Yeah.
Not much from the other guys.
They just don't have enough.
Who was the guy Clay was looking up? I wanted to. Yeah, you asked him. Like, who was he going? Who's underneath Dinwiddie? Like,
Bertans.
Maybe he thought that was Bertans, but getting 26. Like, what? So.
Yeah, he's like, I know he had that drive and dunk on me, but
bottom line is they're just not losing to Reggie Bullock. It's just not happening, this team. And that's the guy who's got to beat him. Or Dorian Finney-Smith or Maxi Kleber. Like, the Warriors are not losing to those guys.
Like, 2-3 games with 4 or 5 made threes in the last series? Like, he can't hit the rim right now.
He was, heading into the series, like, if you were crafting a way for Dallas to win the series, it was – the two centers. Kleber is this switch everything 3-point specialist who would unlock all the small lineups, and because of him, Looney couldn't play. I mean, Looney compared to Kleber in this series is like a home run for the Warriors.
He's just staying, 6 feet away from him and then helping with everyone else. Ball comes back to Kleber, he jumps out on him and Kleber passes. Like that's a loss for the Mavericks. It's a lost position.
He had a corner three. It wasn't even close. Oh, he's done.
Like, at the end, Bullock was like, everything was short arm. Everything was thought through. There is a lot of noise here, so we might have to move this here a little bit.
We're going
to
move this quick. Okay, we have moved out of the press room where New Kids on the Block workers are just.
This might be their locker room or something. I don't know. This might be their wardrobe or something.
Marcus was just killing American Airlines Center as an arena.
Oh, it's just old. I just remember. It's like when you see like your nephew or your cousin and they was young and you see him, it's like, geez, you've gotten so big, you're so old. That's what AAC is. It just feels old.
What did you guys think of the crowd and environment?
It's okay. It wasn't great. But you know what? I think they could feel. They could feel the Warriors in control, and it's hard to get, miss after miss after miss takes it out of a crowd. We've seen it at Chase Center. They can only cheer Luka's buckets within all the other misses so much. It just was not that much, but the Mavericks didn't give him a lot to cheer for. It would have been louder if they were in more of the game.
What do you think is what's the percentage of Warriors fans here now and in 07?
Higher. Yeah.
Significant portion.
Yeah. And can you imagine next game? It might be third the crowd.
Like 07, it was just family and friends in here.
I also think, especially for these like higher price games, there's a lot, it's because of what the Warriors have become, it's just like legends of the sport.
Oh, no question.
There's just a lot of people who aren't, they're not Warriors fans, but they're like, ooh, Steph Curry just hit threes.
You can hear them going, ooh.
Ooh, Draymond yelling at the ref. This is fun. This is what he does. I love this.
Slater mocking Richie was hilarious.
I would include Patrick Mahomes in this. He's wearing a Dirk Nowitzki jersey, but trust me, he was enjoying. Like, Steph was hitting threes. He was like, oh yeah, that's
Samuel. Can put Debo Samuel in that one. And not yet in the Rich category, maybe not quite yet. He wants to be.
Did you get an update on his negotiations tonight?
No, I did not.
More likely to be in the Bay Area next year. Andrew Wiggins or Debo Samuel? I'd go with Andrew Wiggins, baby.
I definitely wrote about that.
Who's more likely to be at the 49ers OTAs next week, me or Debo Samuel? It's going to be – I think it might be me.
What do you expect – we can wrap it up pretty quick, but what do you all expect in game 4? To me, it's all about Dallas. I think if Dallas comes with a strong punch, I think this is going 5. But – they could also lay down. I don't know if you saw Dallas' quotes post game. They seem pretty resigned to what's happening.
I do think, remember we talked about this with Denver. It was like, how would Denver respond? I do think there's a huge fatigue factor on the Dallas side. They're literally playing six guys.
And yeah, those guys, game series, yeah, quick turnaround.
They're tired. They're whooped. So I do think especially if they don't jump out to a big lead, I do think they have some lay down in them. They're just tired. Like that's the difficulty of a playoff run.
And
right?
By the way, and the Warriors gonna know that. Like, okay, do we want to end it? We got to play a great first quarter. If we don't play a great first quarter, they could hit 11 threes, you know, whatever, and all of a sudden down 14 and the crowd's going. But if the Warriors play a great first quarter, this thing's over.
I do remember in the Denver, you know, game four you're talking about where they lost in Denver, Mike Malone basically talking about, you know, I just didn't want to get swept.
That was the rally cry.
Yeah, it was like, don't get swept. Jokic even said a post game like, we just didn't deserve to get swept. Then when they were saying that, you knew, wow, they're going to go lose game five. Tonight, you know, I don't know if you guys read some of the Doncic's quotes. They were good. He had a good press conference tonight. But one of the things he said was like, you know, I'll learn from this when I go to the summer. Like, you know, these are mistakes that'll only help me. I'm only 23. I'm like, that's not a guy that's like, they got lucky tonight. Wait till we get him in.
I want to get on a plane out to San Francisco. Yeah. Like, yeah, so that's
saying fine. There were nobody saying, why not? We're the first ones coming down from the league. You hear that quote?
Yeah,
no,
they're not feeling that. Not against this team. Not against what just happened. This was a systemic thing. This is the Warriors system beat the Mavericks system, and that's going to be impossible to imagine it happening in the reverse four straight times. So it's when that's in their people's minds, it's usually over in the first game possible. Again, they'll go out try to hit three. If Maxi Kleber hits three straight threes, then it's a ball game. If he's doing what he's doing,
he'll be shooting arrows up at you on press.
My guy, Maxi Kleber. It's going to be real tough. I mean, Lucas scored, 40-40 or 41-40, and then they lost both games. I mean, that's got to be
the game really two loss is just deadly.
I mean, but if you're a Luca, you're like, yo, what else am I supposed to do here?
No, it's not Luca's fault.
Yeah, no, so Luca's like, any chance they have of winning, it's going to be on Luca.
Which, by the way, I mean, like, this is what you knew about Dallas entering the season before the trade deadline, and they traded Porzingis after the trade deadline, was like, they have the generational star. They still need to build the team around him. They need to get him the co-star. We knew that. There was a moment, especially when they beat Phoenix, that was like, is this happening? Is he already elevating? And then, again, you're being taught in this series that no. Like, they still need to do more to build.
How bad does Phoenix look, by the way, to lose Game 7 to this team? It's terrible. I mean, again, not trying to put down Dallas, but it's a limited team with an incredible, you know, one and a half players. Should not go into a team that won 62 games and destroy them in Game 7. That should not have happened. This is going to be part of the Suns' history. And Chris Paul's not getting any younger. This might be that's as high as they get. It's just devastating to think that this Dallas team went in there and destroyed them in Game 7.
What's even more devastating is when they come back next year, you know who absolutely will not be at all worried about them? The Warriors.
Oh, no. They weren't worried about him this year, by the way. Yeah.
Also, Luka Doncic.
It's just terrible.
They just went to number three in the West, no matter how the
they're like Utah.
Goes.
They're Utah, right? They're the way you think of Utah. Like, okay, whatever. It's the Suns. Okay.
Yeah, there could be on another 65-win pace next season. Yeah. And you know how this year people were like, what? This is a machine.
Yeah.
Now it'll be like,
not anymore.
Whatever.
Yep.
Not anymore.
Yep. That's who you want in round two, basically, is what we'll be talking about.
I mean, if they would have lost game
four,
seven
to the Memphis.
Clippers with everybody there.
Sacramento.
Forget it. Phoenix not making a playoff. We decided it right now.
Denver with everybody there.
But the Suns didn't get blown out by the Warriors in game seven, or even Memphis. They got blown out by the Mavericks at home. I mean, that is just, again, I'm not trying to be mean to the Mavericks, but we're seeing what they are. And the Warriors didn't play great in the first two games. They played great tonight. But, like, here's the other thing. What if the Warriors just play great? Like, if they play great, they can't. I don't care what Dallas does. They're not going to win. And that's very possible to happen in game four. Very possible.
Yeah, it often just comes down to that. Like, in the end, the Warriors just got more guys. That's just the bottom line. They got more guys. And guys who have been through this before. You see, Klay was struggling. Couldn't make a shot.
Made some big ones.
Four calls, boom, boom, boom. Yep. Yeah, all right. Yep. Like, it's time to win. Let's go.
When Moody got him that offensive rebound, that was like, this is it. That was the ball game, as far as I could tell. And they got those guys, you know. And Jordan could, you know, hit a
terrible.
Big,
they hit the big one in the corner.
Yeah, it's like they just got those guys, and This is again. I did not think that they were going to beat Phoenix if they played Phoenix. I now reverse that and think they would have beat Phoenix, and they are the best team in the West. They are have every shot to win a championship. I think they don't match up as well against the Eastern teams, but I am now going to recalibrate that. They got every shot to win the championship. And I didn't think that before tonight.
Yeah. I mean, Boston ain't impressing me right now in the East Finals. But anyway, we will talk to you post-game 4 on Tuesday night. Talk to you then.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.